town or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, our very special guest, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, if you haven't gone to healthmasters.com recently, go there. A bevy of new articles, bevy, word of the day. And, of course, sign up for the newsletter as well. And I gotta tell you, the distiller that they have, our studio dog lady, drinks nothing but distilled water.
Yeah, you've been talking about this all week, yeah. Off air.
Yeah, yeah. She, got to keep her around, you know. It's for dog. And that's one thing, too. In preps, folks, don't forget about your furry loved ones, okay? Four-legged loved ones. When you're dealing with preparations and you're thinking about preparations, don't forget about your pets, please. Because it's important. They've got to eat too, and keep them in mind as well. So, a lot of ground covered the first 2 hours of this program. Now, this hour, I'm going to ask Ted to get into some of the geopolitical aspects of what's really going on. The summer of 16. To me, this is much more dangerous than the summer of 68 ever dreamt of. Thinking back, I was a... You know, I mean, the summer of 68 with the Chicago 7 outside of the DNC in Chicago, I think we're seeing a rending of the different parties. We're seeing a split, an unprecedented split between among Americans, right and left. And we understand, of course, the falsity of the right-left paradigm at this point. It really makes little difference. However, those adhering to that meme still, that chasm is widening, as are the breaks within each side of the spectrum. So, I do believe that we are going to see some extremely critical things happen this summer. I think that there is an army of socialists that have been groomed for this year. Socialist maybe is a light word. I think we're seeing communism really overtake the fourth generation, fifth, sixth generation of highly educated, college young people. And there's really an army being unleashed. And there will be armies unleashed this summer. And it's going to be, in my view, there will be chaos. There will be rioting in the streets here domestically. And that against the backdrop of an potential economic collapse, as well as widening and deepening geopolitical things taking place, the U.S. v. Russia, China already warning America about, meddling in the South China Sea. And if you haven't seen any of that, I would urge you to take a look. You've got the Clinton scandals, plural, ramping up. And, you know, it's interesting, too, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it right back to Ted. I find it very interesting as I look through the landscape of the forums, whether they're political forums or whether they're survival forums or just conversational forums, as well as the social networking. Pay very close attention to the neuro-linguistic programming, the That's language right. that is being used. So with that, Ted?
No, you're right. It's called NLP, and it deals with the language that's being used with the body motions. It's dealing with body language. It's a whole art. It's a whole program they've used to train us and to program us with. I know that some of the top people in the corporate field, they actually teach neuro-linguistic programming, and they teach you how to do mass hypnosis by talking to groups of people using it. And it's kind of a crazy stuff because it really does work. Real quick thing, we had my email that went out today. If you guys want to get on this list, sign up for it. We talk about methylcobalamin versus cyanide cobalamin, which are both B12. One of them is made from cyanide. One of them is a natural form. How sleeping pills can actually increase the risk of Alzheimer's by up to 50%. How more than one vaccine per year is priming children for depression. This is just one email that we sent out. Can GHI cleanse protect against the post-industrial chemical apocalypse? That's a very important article. The 7 most prescribed drugs in the world and their natural alternatives. Research confirms that vaccines do have an ugly side that nobody wants to address. Another comment, these are all separate articles we sent out on our email. Multiple topics including vaccinations, mercury fluoride, and milk, the real truth. Statins are the greatest medical fraud of all time. And should Americans store food and should Christians store food? These are just the articles that were sent out today on email. If you're on that, my email list, you would have gotten all of these into your inbox to read at your leisure. You can sign up for that completely for free. And I don't want to stop talking about the health stuff right for a second until I do this. I want to thank you guys for supporting the Hagmann Show and for supporting Health Masters. You know, we're both family-run organizations and corporations, and if it wasn't for you guys and supporting Health Masters and supporting Doug, we couldn't be here. And we mentioned this a couple of months ago, and you say, well, what will a dollar do, you know, donating to Hagmann, or $10 or $20? Well, it's not that. It's the aggregate. When you have 20 or 30 or 100 or 200 people doing it at one time and you know, giving $100 or $200 or whatever you can afford, it makes a huge difference as far as covering all of our overheads and covering the cost of doing the shows, because I'm on Daystar every single day from 3 to 4 and on Sunday nights from 7 to 8 before Dave Hodges. So, I mean, I'm on live radio 6 days a week.
Global
I'm 60
star
years old. I'm Global Star. Global that's star. Right. I'm supposed to be trying to retire, Doug, not working 6 days a week. But luckily I'm German, and Germans don't really know what working too much is. We just always work all the time, and I told the general manager of a hotel in Rome, they had a huge labor strike the day that we were there, in which 3/4 of the staff didn't show up. They were wanting more money, and so the manager of the hotel was German, and she was bussing tables. Her name was Barbara, and I looked at her. I started laughing. I was having breakfast, and I said, "Man muss immer arbeiten," which means a person has to always work. And she started laughing, and she said, "That's what my mother said." So we were talking German to each other, and I laughed, and I said, "Would you like for me to help you bust some tables?" And she goes, "Well, no, you don't have to do that. You're staying here as a guest." I said, "It doesn't matter." I said, "When people have a time of need, it's time to help." And see, and that's the whole thing, guys. You know, everybody needs support for one another. We, if anything, pray for the Hagmans, pray for us, pray for Health Masters, because we're all the point of the spear. I mean, you know, there's a few big shows on the internet now. You know, my show, Doug's show, Dave Hodges' show, Joyce, Alex. I mean, there's about a dozen of us. You know, Josh. You know, what's the one guy you like also on GCN? You got another guy you like too, Joe. What was his name?
Josh Tully.
Yep. So we're all out here. And just, you know, and support, let us all support one another and build each other up and just realize that, you know, we can't do it alone. But let me start an article. This is interesting. You know, we've had these Canadian wildfires that have been going nuts up there, Doug. And I want to talk about why this happened and what's going on. What people don't realize is this. When you spray nanosized aluminum in dust and aerosol and you cover these forests with a layer of aluminum powder, which is what we've done now with these just 20 years of these chemtrails, aluminum is extremely explosive and in dust form, and also it burns extremely well, and it burns extremely hot. It can burn over 1,000 degrees. And what's interesting is that people don't realize is that these forests have been coated in powdered aluminum, and that's why they're saying we've never seen a forest fire this hot, we've never seen a forest fire this uncontrollable. It's intended. I mean, this is what they've done. They've sprayed these forests for absolutely no reason, because there's not enough people living in these forests to even spray with chemtrails, but they've sprayed everything with these nanomarkers and with the smart dust and with this aluminum salts they've dumped on everything now, and they burn insanely hot. Do you remember when Apollo 1 burned up on the launch pad, Doug, back in the 60s? I think you remember. Yes. They said that one of the reasons that happened is that the oxygen was, they had pure oxygen in the spaceship, and in addition to that, it was all the aluminum that was in there, and it burned so hot. Guys, listen to me. This is why these fires are doing this. You start pumping aluminum powder on everything, it's going to burn like crazy. It's like throwing, you know, gasoline on a doggone fire. And that's why these firefighters are having such a horrible time in trying to extinguish these wildfires that ransacked Montana last year, and now apparently they're ransacking the Canada right now. But I want to start with that. Here's an interesting article. The Rothschilds, again, got to love these people, now have held a $100,000 a plate dinner fundraiser for Hillary Clinton in Washington, D.C. This is by Jay Sermopoulos, providing even more proof that she's simply a puppet for the ruling oligarchy. On Thursday, Hillary Clinton attended a $100,000 a head fundraiser hosted by none other than Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, a prominent New York businesswoman and supporter of the Clintons. The Rothschild banking dynasty is a family line that has been accused of pulling the political strings of many different governments through the control of various economic systems throughout the world. Historically, there is ample evidence to prove that this family has used its vast fortune to control the political apparatus of numerous nations throughout history, toppling regimes and bringing entire economies to their knees. Very well written, by the way, and it's an interesting article. Who in the world would want to hear that wicked witch speak for $100,000, Doug? That's ridiculous. I mean, who has that kind of money? These Democrats who want us everybody to be a socialist, communist dictatorship, where are they coming up with all this cash? I mean, if they have this much money, they want to do this, why don't they give it to the poor and become real communists? I mean, what's up with this, Doug? What do you think about this?
Well, it's limousine liberals, as many like to say, but yeah, you're exactly right. I've got mine, too bad for you mentality, or, you know what, I deserve it. I know better than you. That's the mentality I see. And of course, this is really how communism works. It's okay for the people at the top, the people wielding the power, but it's not okay for the worker bees, and everyone must know their place and be put in their place and stay in their place. And you know, whether, I mean, when people, and you know what, Ted, I was watching, Alex Jones had some, did a great job of getting some videos of the Sanders or the anti-Trump people, okay, for example. And to listen to their irrational arguments, I mean, do these people even hear themselves? Number one. Number two, they can't even. I could not imagine attempting to have a cogent argument with any of these people or a debate, because it's just within minutes or seconds they resort.
Critical thinking.
No,
right,
and it's all obscene. It's all,
as soon as a point's made that they can't intellectually argue back with, they name call, they scream, swear,
yeah,
get violent, and
that's right.
Pretty graphic, man.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was on the airplane the other day, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you or not, Doug, because I told several people about it today, so my memory isn't as good as it needs to be right now with this little bit of jet lag I got going on. But I stopped, our plane got stopped in the tarmac at Orlando International Airport for like 20 minutes while they cleared the gate. and there was a lady behind me who started talking to my 13-year-old daughter. Have I told you the story yet?
No.
Okay. And what happened is we were talking, and I heard her talking to Savannah. She was telling Savannah to give her a call, and she gave her a business card. I mean, this is completely unnecessary to solicit somebody's child with a business card, you know what I'm saying? She'd hook her up with some clothes. And I thought to myself, this is a bit weird. Well, I started talking. I want to be in this conversation. They were sitting right behind me. And I said, where are you from? She goes, from Newark. I said, oh, that's great. And I said, let me ask you a question. Are you pro-Trump or pro-Clinton? She goes, well, I'm voting for Hillary. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So that kind of tells you who she is right there. And I said, well, have you read Roger Stone's book, The Clintons War on Women? She goes, yeah, I read the book. It's really, really informative, and it really shows the horrible things that Hillary has done and the Clintons have done to women. And I said, okay, you read the book? She goes, yeah. And I said, okay, you're still going to vote for the Clintons? She goes, well, yeah. She goes, what about you? Who are you voting for? I said, I'm voting for Trump. And she says, why are you voting for Trump? And I said, because I can't get past Benghazi or Hillary's war on women. Is that enough? And she goes, well, I don't trust Trump. And I said, you trust Hillary? I said, after you read that book? I said, are you joking me? She goes, well, no. She goes, I don't trust Trump. And I thought to myself, I said, why don't you trust Trump? And she goes, well, I met him one time. I said, well, what did he do to you when you met him? She goes, nothing. He was a business guy. He's very cordial. He's just a business guy. I said, okay, well, you don't trust him? No, I don't trust him. Well, why? Well, I don't have a reason why. I just don't trust him. I said, but do you trust Hillary after you read the book? Well, yeah. And I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense to me. And she goes, well, I just want things left the way they are. I want things left in the status quo. I don't want a bunch of radical changes being done. And I said, what do you think just happened in the past 8 years? I said, are you kidding me? I said, this has been a nightmare for the past 8 years. She goes, well, Obama hasn't done what he said he was going to do. And I said, do you think Hillary's any different? I said, Obama, Bush, Clinton. I said, they're all the same. I said, you know, we've had the ruling elite Bush family run the United States since 1980, directly or indirectly, because Ronald Reagan was shot 30 days into the White House. And she goes, well, that's true. And I said, so we had 20 years, another 15 years. We had 35 years of Bush rule, pretty much, because he took over the Reagan White House for 8 years and 4 more years on his own. And then Clinton's were their cronies. And then, of course, Obama and George W. I said, this has been a nightmare. I said, after 35 years of these clowns, they've about destroyed the Republic. And she goes, well, I want Clinton in there. And Doug, no matter what I tried to do, I could not reason with this girl. This woman, she's like 35 years old, 40 years old. So finally we got off the plane and we're going to the luggage, and I told Savannah, I said, give me that lady's business card, my 13-year-old daughter. She hands me the card. I immediately threw it away. And I said, forget you met her. She's a weirdo. I said, don't be associating with people like that. They have no reasoning skills whatsoever, and they just need to be avoided. I said, because you can't talk to these people because they have no reason. They don't like Trump. They have no reason. At all. Right. They just don't like Trump, you know, but they like Hillary even though they read all these horrible books of what she's done. Look at another example. The Russia Today had a news story. Bill Clinton was frequent flyer on the pedophile jet Lolita Express.
Oh, yeah.
With the infamous Jeffrey Epstein. Yep. I mean, he rode on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express when they were having sex with these young girls 26 times. Are you kidding me? 26 times. Well, what were they doing? Well, I don't know, but you know, it doesn't sound like anything I want to be involved with, and I don't know why in the world the president or these guys are wanting to be involved with any of this stuff, but we know Hillary Clinton's a lesbian. Everybody knows that, okay? We can just go ahead and just call it what it is. We know they don't have any kind of decent marriage. We know that Bill basically is scared to death of Hillary. We know that. We know that Hillary is a filthy, filthy mouth witch who cusses everybody out and is F this and GD this with everybody she talks to. And do we really want this unbelievable lowlife in the White House? Well, you know, what difference does it make? You know, we got a gay guy in the White House right now, according to Joan Rivers, and you know, she was dead 30 days into that little comment. Now, I mean, this is unbelievable, Doug, that the United States has done this, and now they're telling us that not only can we not say anything about it, we gotta like it. Well, guess what, guys? I don't like it. I don't like any of this stuff. That's why I started off the show tonight reading that first comment that I had written last night. I mean, this is a nightmare of what's happening in the United States, and the problem is the population doesn't want to talk about it. Because we've been so dumbed down with fluoride, dumbed down with statin drugs, dumbed down with Prozac, dumbed down with tricyclic antidepressants, and of course the serotonin reuptake inhibitors. All of these things are poisoning us. We don't want to have any guys that are macho. I mean, the lawmakers just rejected John Wayne Day over there in California because they said he was a racist, which is a complete and total lie. I mean, it's just because they don't want to have a role model of somebody who's not a weirdo. All they want to have is weirdos as role models. And, you know, it's crazy, Doug. It really is. Here's another article. Budget cuts are forcing half of the Air Force bombers to be grounded. Now, think about this stuff. You know, we did an F-35 program that we spent over $1 trillion on. I mean, how can you spend $1 trillion on a airplane that doesn't really fly very well? And the crazy thing about this is they can't even keep the planes they have flying. And the nuttiest part about the whole thing is our technology, with our anti-gravity technology and all the stuff that we've done, is so far advanced now that these antiquated aircraft should be easy to maintain. The problem is they don't want to roll out the new level of technology because they're trying to keep everybody in the dark. So it's crazy. So we spent over $1 trillion on the F-35, but the America's infrastructure is $1.44 trillion short through 2025. In other words, if we just had shelved the F-35, the whole program, Doug, we'd have had enough money to pay for the infrastructure repair in the United States through 2025. But one stupid airplane program through the American, you know, through the military industrial complex has caused a massive shortfall on just trying to build the rebuild bridges and roads and highways. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, Doug? I'm crazy. And now the next article is the U.S. to give Israel's largest military aid package in history. The White House, remember that, we can't even keep our planes flying, but we're going to give Israel the largest military. Now, I know some of you guys are going to get all mad at me now that I'm saying this, but doggone it all, until the United States can get its own house in order and stop running these huge deficits and get real money back in to get rid of the Federal Reserve, we don't need to give them the doggone Balfour Declaration, how the Rothschilds, Israel, more money. It's the nonsense. The White House is reportedly planning to accept Israel's demands for increased military aid. With the current memorandum of understanding set to expire in 2018, Israel has been pressuring the White House to enlarge the annual aid budget from $3.1 billion to $4.5 billion. Are you joking me? I mean, the country's broken. We're giving away billions and billions of dollars to a country that contains Tel Aviv, the largest homosexual, the most popular homosexual destination in the world, Tel Aviv. Are you joking? Well, yeah, that's what they want us to do. The ADL, by the way, and you guys, I'm sure, already reported on this a few weeks ago, has targeted Trump as saying that he's anti-Semitic. Did you guys read this on the air?
Referenced it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they're saying because he's saying keep America first, that it was used by anti-Semites like Charles Lindbergh to keep the United States out of World War II. So again, they're rewriting history and they're making everybody anti-Semite. I mean, we're all anti-Semites. If anything you say, I mean, I can say I don't like certain Christians, I don't like certain, Hindus or certain Buddhists or anybody. If I say I don't like certain Jews, oh my God, you're an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. Gosh, I teach Old Testament dietary laws out of the Torah in churches as far as obeying Levitical precepts as far as not eating pork and shellfish. How does that make me an anti-Semite? When Carter wrote that book, President Carter wrote that book, I think it was Palestine, Not Apartheid, a couple of years ago, they called him an anti-Semite, and he was one of the big pro-staunch supporters of Israel. I mean, anybody who says anything about Israel or about certain folks that are Jewish that are doing bad things is an anti-Semite now in the country because of the control of the media by these interest groups. I mean, it's the whole thing's nuts to me, Doug.
Ted, the other side of this is, okay, Genesis, bless those who bless thee with, in reference to Israel. Okay, I understand that. Okay, we understand. You and I and others can have an intellectual discussion about Israel. Okay, and our treatment of Israel, where what comes into play here, what people don't understand or cannot seem to agree upon is the Israel of the Bible, the Jews of the Bible, as opposed to the political Zionism. Okay, which you start talking about that, and it's like the rapture, abortion, or the rapture debate, and other things all wrapped into one. It's, now it's a party because people don't want to talk intellectually. And I said this before. There's a big difference between reacting and responding to something. And there's a big difference between how people talk about, various issues. Everyone is so minimally, Everyone, and Greg Jackson uses this statement a lot, an inch deep and a mile wide, okay, in terms of the intellectual discussion about things.
And you do have different factions that
right.
when it comes to Israel,
right.
you have those that are you know, doing things for their own personal gain, for the gain of an agenda that they serve, versus those agendas which are God's, versus, I mean, it's like America. If people judged us by our government's actions, we would all be, you know, horribly guilty of
we'd
human...
be sodomite right. baby killers and...
But there's different agendas, yeah. there's different, you know...
But see,
groups
and we should not, and Ted, and I'm going to be quiet here, but we shouldn't be afraid to discuss, to have a discussion about this. And where I have a problem is, to me, who is the accuser of the brethren? Well, many self-proclaimed Christians are the accuser of the brethren. They'll come right out and say, hey, you know, that's not biblical, or in my view, that's not biblical. Well, wait a second. Isn't that Satan's job to accuse the brethren? I don't know. Just me talking. I guess that's a rhetorical question, but go ahead, Ted.
Well, no, let's look at Genesis 12. We're quoting the verse. Let's talk about it. He says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. He's talking to Abraham, the calling of Abram to Abraham. Israel wasn't even formed at this point. I mean, you know, the Muslim race, remember, Abraham formed the Muslim race, and he also formed the Jewish race because he was the father of many nations. That's what the word says. And it says, and they're talking to Abraham, and it says, and I will bless those who bless you. They're talking about blessing Abraham, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It says that right there. All the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. That's the verse. It has nothing to do with Israel. I hate to be a newsflasher with you guys. This is one of the many races that were formed from Israel. We're supposed to bless Israel. Now, we're supposed to pray for Israel, but we're supposed to bless Abraham. And so they take this and they translate this as saying, this is talking about Israel. It didn't say that. So again, it's back to the commentaries. The commentaries go in, like the Scofield Bible, and they bring the Zionism up, and they make you believe that this is what the stuff says, and it's not what it says at all. And it says, I will bless those who bless you, and to those who dishonors you, I will curse. Through you and all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's the English Standard Version of this. And they're talking specifically about Abraham. They never mentioned Israel, because it wasn't even formed at this point. They don't mention the 12 tribes of Israel. They don't mention the Muslims that also came from Abram, you know, with Sarah, the maidservant. They don't mention any of this stuff. But yet, that's what we're told that's supposed to believe by the Scofield Bible, and so everybody believes it. So, again, you're right, Doug, Joe. Why can't we have a discussion?
Well,
I mean, I'll give Chuck Baldwin credit. Chuck Baldwin has written multiple articles on this very topic in News with Views. It's cost him a whole bunch of his support. It's cost him a bunch of his donations because
right.
he's told the truth about this. I mean, we got a country that was formed by the Balfour Declaration. It is not the Old Testament Israel that we all think it is on Genesis through the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law. It is not that. They're more sorcerers and wizards and Harry Potter kind of people there. And it's just that it's a disaster what's happened over in Israel. And we've been all made to believe that it's the Old Testament Israel. If you proselytize and try to convert a Jewish person in Israel to Christianity and you do it openly out on the street, you're going to get arrested and go to jail. I mean, it's the only religion there is Judaism, and the Judaism they practice isn't from the five first books of Levitical law or the Pentateuch, it's from the Babylonian Talmud that was written in the 6th century. And Jesus called them out. He said that you nullify the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. And then in the book of Revelation, it says that these people that are the Luciferians, they're the synagogue of Satan, and that their father is the devil. I mean, he's called it out in the book of John. It was called out again in the book of Revelation. It was called back out by Jesus himself, and I believe it was in Matthew. And, you know, they nullify the word of God for the sake of their traditions. And these Sabbatine Kabbalists, Luciferians, who basically brought this whole thing to the head now in the last 300 years, bringing the Rothschild banking cartel into this movement, are a bunch of Luciferians. You know, and the sad part about it is that the Christian church has been told that this is how they're supposed to believe because of political Zionism. Doug, you nailed it on the head. And David Pike wrote one of the best articles that I've ever read. The name of the article is that you shall not call out its name, political Zionism, because if you do, you say anything about this, now you're automatically, like they've done to Donald Trump now, he's an anti-Semite because he said America first. Well, you know what, guys? America is running giant deficits. We have huge disparities in our trade. And we're going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, into by the trillions of dollars every single year, unsustainable debt that cannot be paid back, and yet we're still giving away hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid every single year that we're borrowing and giving away. Now you say, well, you think, don't think we should support Israel? I didn't say that. I don't think we should be giving foreign aid to anybody,
Doug. And see, because I guarantee it, Ted, I'm going to be getting a ton of emails because we're talking about this. And people are, don't – see, here's the thing. People, again, it goes back to response versus reaction. People will react to what we're talking about. Not – I mean, they're going to hear what they want to hear and not hear the discussion that we're having here at the table. Just let's bring it back into context, because at the end of the day here, America first, what does that mean? Well, obviously there is an element of hubris there, but more importantly, or perhaps equally important, what we're saying, or what I like to believe or understand here, is that we as a nation have to fix our own ills first. That's exactly. Not including taking care of the indigent, the returning veterans. I mean, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Why would we be spewing money out to other nations?
I mean, billions to Israel and billions more around the world.
Yeah.
Where we have homeless vets, you know, in the 50-plus thousand. We have, you know, poverty at levels of third-world countries. It does not make sense.
Yeah.
And this is what Ron Paul says. Ron Paul said the same thing. He goes, why are we in over 60 countries with our military? Why are we policing the world? And Donald Trump said the same thing. Why are we doing this? Why are we not charging these countries for this? I mean, we go in there for free. I guess because we're buying political influence or we're overthrowing governments. And, you know, and we need to get out of this nation building and this empire building nonsense that the Rothschilds have put us into. I mean, we're a puppet of the Rothschild banking cartel is what we are. And so is Israel. And the sad part about all of this is the Christians don't want to realize what's happening here because it's not, quote, politically correct. Because we've all been so brainwashed into believing the lie of, you know, of that this Israel that we see now in this Middle East is the Israel of the Old Testament. It is not. Okay? This is more of a political group in Israel right now. It's a group of people that are Sabbatean Kabbalists. A lot of them are Luciferians. And I'm not saying they're all like this because I don't believe that. But the point is, the guys who are in charge over there are really not good people. Okay? And the sad part about it is people in America don't want to believe this. Look what they're doing to the Palestinians, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we take these countries in the Middle East, we bomb them into rubble. You got Libya, you got Syria, you got, you know, Afghanistan, you got Iraq, now you've got Egypt. You've destroyed all these countries. We've bombed them. We've killed their families, killed their husbands, killed their wives, killed millions of people over there. And now we decide we're going to bring them all to the country, into our country, start bringing them all over Europe. They're so pissed off because we've killed their family, and we wonder why they're jihadists? Are you joking me? When we're training ISIS anyhow? This whole thing's nuts, Doug.
No, exactly. And again, people are only going to hear what they want to hear out of this and then take this and run with it. You've got to understand, we do. When Glenn Beck and the other guy went down to the Mexican border, you know, taking soccer balls and teddy bears, okay, calling that a humanitarian crisis, is that an incorrect statement? No, it's not an incorrect statement. It's a humanitarian crisis. But it's more than that. It is not only a humanitarian crisis. It's one that was caused, orchestrated, planned, and executed by the Western intelligence services, or the actual, it's collateral for the collateral result of the criminal cabal that's orchestrating these things. So yes, when we go over and destabilize countries, Western intelligence destabilize countries throughout the Middle East, this was not, like Arab Spring, not a spontaneous uprising, but when we go out and destabilize the power bases, it's done with a forethought and with an agenda to create this the problem reaction solution, as well as the Cloward Piven the whole doctrine, by the Fabian socialists, by the people in power, by these psychopaths. So it's just to be clear, this is what we're talking about here is an orchestrated series of events that yes, at face it's a humanitarian crisis, but when you look at it deeper, it's much greater than that. It's one of our own making, or not our own making, but the criminal cabal of Satan, Luciferianist idiots in power. I don't know if I made sense, but see, again, I just want people to understand what we're saying here. It's not an indictment of an entire race or religion at this point. It's and one more thing, Ted, where this is exemplified, I believe, or illustrated perfectly, is during World War II, where the Germans, the Nazis, to be more, not Germans, but the Nazis, weaponized Islam, much like Brezhnev weaponized the Muslims against against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. But he did that because they were predisposed to that type of violence. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It does. In fact, I want everybody to pull an article up and read this after the show. I'm going to read the first paragraph of it, and you get an idea what he's talking about. This is David Icke. And the name of the article is "They Dare Not Speak Its Name, Rothschild Zionism." They Dare Not Speak Its Name, Rothschild Zionism, David Icke, and you can read the entire article. And here's what he said. He says, "But to understand the financial crisis, 9/11 is so much more. It must be spoken constantly as we begin a new year amid ever-gathering global tyranny. I have written and spoken extensively about the agenda behind the unfolding global financial crisis. Most conspiracy researchers either don't realize the fundamental significance of this network, or they're too frightened to talk about it. Is widely known as Zionism, or as I call it more accurately, I suggest Rothschild Zionism. I have the Rothschild to constantly emphasize the true creators of Zionism and its controllers to this day. I'll explain in the connect later to a gathering economic catastrophe, but some background is necessary to put all of this into pieces. This, here's what he says. Listen to this, is so important. Ask most people about Zionism, and they will say, that's the Jews. But while this is the impression the Rothschild networks and politics and the media have sought very successfully to sell as common knowledge, it's not true. It represents only a minority of them and many others who are not Jewish. This is very important. Rothschild Zionism is in its public expression is a political ideology based on the homeland for Jewish people in Palestine and believes that the Jews are God's chosen race and you have a promised land. They also believe that the real borders of Israel must encompass now what we know as Palestine. That's the public expression of Zionism, but at the inner core it has a secret society created and controlled by the House of Rothschild. They have sought to sell Zionism means all Jewish people lie so they can condemn as anti-Semites and racists anyone who exposes the truth about Rothschild Zionism and its agents in government, banking, business, media, and military. This is why most researchers won't go there, even though they are aware to know that they should go there to uncover and expose what is happening in the world. We need to see what's going on and who the backbone and who the brains are. And it goes on to detail about how they're you're immediately ridiculed as a racist or as an anti-Semite if you say anything about Rothschild Zionism. And so everybody's read this. It's like a 20-page article he wrote on this, and he talks about the different people in America that are promoting it and go into detail with it. Now, do I agree with everything in this article? Absolutely not. But here's what I will say. For some reason, everybody can say everything they want to say about Christians or Hindus or Buddhists. They can't say anything about Muslims or the Jewish folks. They can't, or they're immediately classified as racist or xenophobes. And the thing about this is that we can't have this. We have to be able to have a discussion about this. We've got to ask ourselves, why is Tel Aviv the number one homosexual destination, capital of the world as far as vacations? Why is that? Why is that okay with the people that are running Tel Aviv? I mean, why is that okay? So we have to be willing to go in this thing and say, hey, look, let's take a real hard look at this. And what David Icke does, he goes into the entire Bush and Obama administration and starts naming all of these folks, both Jewish and Gentile, who are Rothschild Zionists and what they believe and what they're doing to further their agenda. And it's a phenomenally written article. Now, I don't agree with all of it. Some of it I just simply don't agree with, but some of it is just dead on. So it's like David Icke, most David Icke stuff, I agree with about 80% of what he writes. The other 20% I don't agree with. But the point is, it's just really an interesting way of looking at things. And if you don't want to read this, read the stuff that Pastor Baldwin has written about this. He's written some extensive articles on this too. But it's the time has come now that we don't allow ourselves to be brainwashed into believing everything that we read in the media and believing everything we hear on the mainstream news. We've got to realize that a lot of the stuff that we've been taught simply a lie, Joe and Doug, and that we have to understand that this is an agenda of world dominion, world domination, and a lot of it's been brought to us by the banking cartels that are managing and running and selling us into slavery and into debt through their fiat currency. Period.
And one more thing I'd like to add, because I see this all of the time on the comments section on videos, InfoWars perhaps, or I think probably for the most part, because they're the most active, where a commenter will come in and say it's the Jewish owned media, it's the Jews control the banks, and they blame it on the Jews, whereas you just described the system, and I said that just to say this, I believe by not addressing it the way responsibly and with factual and a degree of accuracy, for those reasons, that's why you have this anti-Semitism developing. That's why you have this blame the Jews for everything that is so rampant and is intellectually and spiritually wrong.
It's not true. No, because 99% of the Jews don't know what's going on either.
Right, okay.
They don't know either. It's like Christians.
Right. Just to be clear, I mean, you're not saying I'm not accurate. What I'm saying is these commenters will get on there and say, well, it's the Jews. No. It's the Jews. It's Jewish-owned banks, Jewish-owned media. Right, exactly. So just to be clear, this is what I'm saying now. By not rationally discussing this and discussing this in a factual manner, that's the reason for these insane, inaccurate, and anti-Semitic comments.
Well, and see, think about this. You know, you can be a Christian, you can be a German or a Frenchman or a U.S. citizen or whatever. Jews are a race and a religion on the same name. You know, so when you hear the word Jew, you automatically assume that they're Jewish, that they believe in the Old Testament, they practice the Torah, and they're Jewish. It's not true. Okay? It's just that the name doesn't necessarily mean they practice the religion, but that's the only religion that's like that. They're Jewish. You assume that they're a Jew and that they're practicing Judaism because it's all kind of wrapped together. That's not true. The majority of these guys that are running this New World Order, they don't practice Judaism. They're Luciferians. They worship Lucifer. Okay, they do human sacrifices. I mean, they're a bunch of sickos, okay? And now there's a bunch of them also that are not even Jewish at all that are involved in this. You got the Bilderberger Group, you got the Council on Foreign Relations, you've got the Council of 300, you've got a lot of these secret societies and these hierarchies of the Masonic lodges that are involved in it. You've got the Catholic Church that's involved in it, and none of these guys are Jewish, okay? Or most of them aren't. And so what ends up happening is you can't just say it's the Jews because it's not. And so don't do that, because that makes us all sound like we're a bunch of wackos, because it's not just the Jews. It's this entire group of people that are working together to bring in a one world order under Lucifer. That's who's doing this. It just so happens that because the Rothschilds are primarily Jewish from race, but not in religion, that they're the ones that control the money supply in all of these central banks, that they're always the ones that everybody's pointing at. It's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's Jews. No, it's not. George Bush and his gang is just as bad. They're not Jewish. Are you kidding me? These guys, it's just, we can't allow ourselves to get into that. It's only the Jews that are doing this, because it's not. And so
you're
that's
right,
the most
Ted,
important people thing you're listening to.
They're not Jewish, but you see Joe Biden saying he's a Zionist. You see these people in the top level of governments claiming to be Zionist and part Jewish, friends of Jewish or descendants of Jews, and without any proof.
That's right.
I specifically remember Joe Biden. This was a few years ago. I don't know what context he was asked the question, but he says, oh, yeah, I love Zionists. I'm a Zionist. And it just kind of took me back a little, because I didn't understand, you know, why was he claiming that?
Well, because
they
believe,
do in leadership.
Yeah. So the question here is, and this is what your talk show does so well, Doug and Joe, is you question all of these mainstream narratives that we've been taught are true, and you say, hey, wait a minute, maybe that's not true. Maybe we need to think about this and take a look at what the Bible says, and maybe we need to think about what these people really believe and what they really want to have happen and why they're trying to bring in a new world order, control under communism, socialism, Satanism, whatever you want to call it. But let's get off this topic. We're almost out of time. I want to read you this real quick. A burglar sues a homeowner who shot him. Now, this is something that you guys have got to listen to. This is super important. A burglar who broke into Dunkirk man's garage has filed a lawsuit against the homeowner for shooting him. Authorities said that David Bailey of Almaty broke into the garage of Dunkirk resident David McLaughlin. McLaughlin, now 33 years old, fired gunshots at the intruder as he saw fleeing his property. Listen to me, guys. Unless you're in... If somebody's robbing you and then they turn around and they run away from you, you don't have the right to shoot them. Tell everybody, Doug, correct. You know I'm right. You can't
that. Yeah.
Because they're trying to get away. You can't just kill them, okay? Now, if they're trying to shoot, if they pull a knife on you or a gun on you and they try to rob you and you pull a pistol out of your pocket and they're trying to rob you and you shoot them, that's different. But if somebody breaks into your house and they're running down the street and you run out of the front yard and you gun them down and they're 100 yards away, you're going to go to jail and you're going to get sued.
Yep, right. Yep, right. And in your house, you're supposed to take a step back if
the
possible.
The furthest wall doctrine. You retreat until you can't retreat anymore. I don't know. It's called the furthest wall doctrine in many states. I don't know if Florida it has the furthest wall doctrine. In other words, you do everything you can before you pull the trigger. And yeah, if you shoot. Now, we had a case here, just real quick. We had a case here where there was actually a runaway jury the owner of a business junkyard shot a young man in the back with a shotgun. I mean, it was a bad shoot, and he was brought up by the DA on attempted murder. In fact, it might have been murder charges, attempted murder, and of course he was let off. Now, this is probably two decades ago now, but he had been the subject of five or six burglaries by the same group of people. Bottom line was, that was the only case I'm aware of where a jury actually let off a guy that a man who shot another young kid in the back. However, you're exactly right. You don't shoot a fleeing person in the back or anywhere else because you will be in trouble. You're exactly right.
Well, you will. And if you live out in the country and somebody's breaking your fence down, but they're not trying to do any bodily harm to you, and you walk up to them and say, get away from my fence, I'm going to shoot you, and you shoot them for breaking your fence, you're going to go to jail. You can't do stuff like that. You got to call the police. You got to videotape it. You got to do whatever you got to do. Let the police charge them with that. But you can't start killing people because they're doing stuff that you don't like. And now in Florida, we do have our castle doctrine here, which means if you're in your home, that they can't, you don't have to retreat in Florida. If somebody walks into your kitchen and you're standing there and they have a knife or a gun and you know they're there to rob you and you know they're up to no good and they walk into your house, you can shoot them as soon as they walk in the house. You don't have to run away. I mean, Florida's got great laws protecting homeowners down here against that, because before it was awful. In fact, in Florida, you're now allowed to fire a warning shot if you're a concealed weapons holder. If you see somebody trying to attack you and then you pull a gun on them, before you'd go to jail just for pulling the gun if you didn't discharge the weapon. Now you can actually fire a round into the ground, and it's considered legal in the state of Florida to try to stop a felony from occurring, and you end up not going to jail because, you know, they were putting people in jail because they were firing warning shots and they were being robbed. And so that was crazy. And see, so Florida has really got their act together pretty much as far as concealed weapons and the ability to defend yourself in your own home. But I wanted to call and tell you guys that because it's a major problem. You can't start shooting people when they're running out of your house or running down the street. You just can't do that. This is not the Wild West.
No, and Ted, listen to this. In Target in Pennsylvania here, this is a headline from yesterday. A man saved a girl while being stabbed in Target is now being sued by Target for saving the girl. Michael Turner saved the life of a 16-year-old girl who was attacked and viciously stabbed in a Target store in Pennsylvania, is now being sued by Target for his heroism, and the case is going to court.
Well, Target needs to basically shut itself down.
They're doing a good job of
it. No, I won't shop at Target again. My whole family said no more with Target. All of us need to boycott Target. I mean, there's close to 1 million people have signed up on this petition against Target now, and we just need to tell Target to take a pound of salt and be done with them. I mean, they've lost $4 billion in stock value already because of what's happened, and the guys are a bunch of idiots. I mean, they're all idiots. I mean, that's all I can say. I'm not going to have any interest in ever buying anything there again. So there, how about
you're right. Target down, I don't know, it's high, 52-week high was 85.81. It's down to 68.60. In the last week, it's changed, I believe, at least 10 to 15
See,
points.
We can make a difference, Ted. In our actions as Christians, we can make a difference. And that's just one instance of where I suspect we're making a difference.
We are. We have to be because, I mean, here's the thing. If we, and I've said this before on the show, and I mean, I've prayed on y'all's show before. I pray on my show not all the time, but I should pray more often, but I do. I have prayed on my show on a regular basis. And I say, look, guys, if we as Christians understood who we are in Christ Jesus, if we understood the power of dunamis of prayer, and how we release dynamite into this unseen world of frequencies when we pray, we create scalar waves, we've talked about on your show before, and we change the very fabric of space-time. This is what they do with their human sacrifices, we've talked about it. They change the attention field and create this energy field around us to make this holographic image that we're in what they want it to be. They form it in what they want its image to be. We have the authority given to us from on high to change it all. If we as Christians prayed in the aggregate of what we want to have happen, and we bound Hillary Clinton, we bound Obama, we bound these Supreme Court judges that are so liberal, and we did it in a group of people in prayer, we would literally change the fabric of space-time overnight. It would all be changed. We'd wake up to a different planet. But see, we have that ability. That's why Jesus said, say to this mountain, go into the sea, it'll be cast into the sea. See, we have the authority that God gave us. The problem is Christians have forgotten who they are. They've forgotten who God is because they've been so blinded by the God of this age, by Lucifer. And Jesus said it himself so succinctly. He said, light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And this is what's happened to Christians all over the place. They don't understand because they're not being taught from the pulpit the power and the authority they've been given by God Almighty when they accept Jesus Christ and they go into covenant with God. They don't get that. They're in this horrible movie that they call their life that they can't even control because they don't understand that they have the authority to control the players in their movie and control what happens in their movie. They don't get it. And so they go through life miserable and defeated. Most people do because they don't understand the authority and the power that we have through our relationship with Christ Jesus after we get saved and we get born again and we're connected with Him through the Holy Spirit. And this is the problem that we have in churches. The churches don't teach any of this. You know, it's just the name it, claim it, grab it guys in all these Pentecostal churches, and they don't want to tell the people the truth of what's going on because they want the groupies and the yuppies and the trendies to be in there to support them because these guys who are politically correct that are going to church, they don't want to hear the truth about what the Word of God says. They don't want to hear the truth about what the Bible says. They don't want to hear the truth about any of this stuff. All they want to do is be in their little feel-good churches and think that they've done something by going to church on Sunday morning. And sadly, this is what's happened to the United States. I blame 99% on what's happened to the people in this country on the pulpits and their unwillingness to speak the truth, Doug and Joe. I do. I believe. Same thing Chuck Baldwin does. He blames the same thing, too. And we've got to stand up and tell the truth. And people need to realize that when we tell the truth, that there are going to be side effects from that. There's going to be people that people aren't going to like you. The people are going to love you. But the truth of the matter is, at least they know you're telling the truth and you're not lying to them and you're not just saying what you think they need to want to hear. That's how I look at it.
Amen. And you know what? We've got about 60 seconds left of the program. You did it again. You took us right out. I want to make sure you're over your jet lag, so we're just going to close easy. No, we're going to close strong tonight, actually. You know what? You did it. What an information-packed broadcast. Folks, share this broadcast with others that you know. And spread the word, both about our show, about Ted Brewer's show, airing here, right here on the Nightstar Global Satellite. Oh, wait a minute, Daystar. I mean, wait, Global Star. That's it. I'm just kidding. You know, a Global Star Radio Network. And are you mad at me? Did I make you mad? Did Ted just hang up on me?
No, I'm here, guys. I'm just listening. Okay. I'm listening to the closing. I know we had like 10 seconds left.
Yeah, brother. No, I just want to say thank you very much for joining us tonight. And man, yeah. I'll tell you, what a lot of information.
Well, we love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for listening to us tonight, and thanks for supporting the Hagmans, supporting Health Masters. We appreciate you guys.
All right. God bless you, my
folks. Every Sunday before Dave Hodges.
Yeah.
And each and every weekday. 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Ted Brewer, his son Austin, radio show right here, healthmasters.com. Check them out.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.